Remember, there's a couple of references in the Old Testament. One is in the reference to the Tabernacle of David, and the other is in reference to the Temple of Solomon, where it says the glory filled the house so much that the priests couldn't stand to minister. And it's always is weird the way that comes out. It's not like I can't stand broccoli. It's the weight of the glory was so heavy they couldn't do their job. But when God's in the house, there is no job. Right? Amen. There's nothing to do but pay attention to Him. And the glory of God ends the religious spirit. The religious spirit is the one that, you know, I've got to get something done here. I've got to change the world. And in religion, there is a lot of jobs to be done. But in the spirit, there's only one, and that's ministering to the Lord. And receiving from Him, too. That's just part of the deal. I like how 2 Corinthians 4 talks about we have this glory in earthen vessels. God doesn't want any competition from us. And He made us frail and with warts and all that so that He shines. And that's beautiful. But you know, there's a brokenness involved there, right? Because if the clay pot is whole and sealed, the light can't get out. So our infirmities and weaknesses allow that light to escape and be seen by the rest of the world. We don't like it. You know, brokenness and humility and honesty about our faults and frailty, that's not pleasurable, especially in Southern California. You know, that's just wrong. Southern California, everybody wants to be polished and perfect. At least that's the persona that gets out there. Let's look at John 1. And we'll start at verse 14, I think it is. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 16, for of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Then he goes to talk about the difference in the glory of the law and the glory that we have. And the glory of the law was amazing. I'm sure many times we've thought, wow, I would like to see the glory fill the church or whatever, like it did in the Old Testament. But we have that glory. We have a greater glory than filled the temple in the Old Testament, because we have Christ inside. We can't always see that glory. You know, you look in the mirror and I don't see it. But it's not really to convince us of anything. I think it's the glory in us is a gift to the rest of creation. You know, God subjected creation to futility, right? In hopes that the sons of God would free it. I think futility is probably the opposite of glory. Futility goes right in hand with the religious spirit. I'm going to change the world. Well, He didn't ask us to change the world so much. He just asked us to allow Him to flow through us. And whatever that does is good. It's all good. It's all about our awareness. My wife and I went up to the Sierra foothills one time to the gold country and, you know, got a hotel. And I know a little something about gold since I work with it every day. And it drove me crazy because I was aware of the gold in the ground up there. It made me nuts. And I don't have, you know, I'm not one of these gold fever kind of guys. That's just the medium I use to be creative. But when I was up there, I was walking around. I was sure I was going to spot it laying on the ground. So that's, you know, it's an awareness. Now in Matthew 8:5, you can turn there if you want. There's a deal we all know. A centurion came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." That it just strikes me how beautiful that is, that where there's authority, there's rest. The authority of the Lord was present. The centurion recognized it. He said, "You don't need to work. Just speak it, and we're good." But Jesus marveled, didn't he? He said, "I haven't seen this kind of faith in the house of Israel." And this guy was a Roman. It's awesome. Now let's think about glory another way. Ezekiel 47. Rich literature. You know, all the imagery presented about the temple and they're walking around it and there's water flowing out of the threshold. And, you know, he measures out 1,000 cubits, and a cubit is about 1.5 feet. So that's your fingertip to your elbow. So that's about 1,500 feet. So that's around 1/4 mile. And then he goes out 1,000, and then 1,000, and then 1,000, and it was so deep, you know, he couldn't cross it. It was get on your flippers and mask and swim it. So that's about 1 mile out. Now, doesn't any of this story, does it bother anybody? Raise your hand if it bugs you. If there's a problem with that story. Well, it bothers me. And I'll tell you why it bothers me. Because the water coming right out of the threshold was shallow. And when water gets further away from its source, it diminishes. But this water didn't. So this is unnatural completely. I mean, did you ever think about that? How could it be the further you get 1 mile away and it's too deep? It just doesn't even work for my natural mind. This is like the glory of God. You know, and we're the temple now. When I look at myself, I don't see that much glory. But 1 mile away, somebody else might. They might be overcome with it. Just because we're serving the Lord and being faithful, we don't know what effect it's having 1 mile away. Isn't that beautiful? See, life is hard. We don't need less problems. You know, there's always going to be a reef here or there. We just need more water. You know, it just floats us above all the problems. So that's where the glory of God is. He's going to lift us up so that we walk in Him and we prevail over the problems. And that's where we're going to stop. Thank you. Bless you.